Hey there, everyone. This is Dave DeBow with another episode of the Property Profits Real Estate Podcast. And today it is a big treat for me to be interviewing these two lovely ladies coming all the way in from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So we've got Rochelle LaFlamme and Alisa Thompson from Epic Alliance. Ladies, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having us. Awesome.
My pleasure. So we're doing this in the middle of February, probably a little chilly in your neck of the woods.
That's brutal. An understatement.
Brutal.
So we won't talk about the weather. So ladies, first of all, folks, if you're watching this, if you haven't seen these two, I highly recommend that you have the opportunity to listen to what we're going to talk about today. But this is a very inspirational success story when it comes to real estate investing, because these guys are rocking and rolling it in the real estate world. So I won't steal your thunder, you guys. So first of all, let's just get started with how the heck did you get involved in real estate investing in the first place? And about how long have you been doing it for?
Well, it's funny. It's a great story. We always jokingly like to say we met in prison. And then everybody like goes, what?
Yeah.
Rochelle and I are electricians. And in Saskatchewan, you have to move either to a city called Prince Albert or Moose Jaw, north or south. We went to Prince Albert. We were apprenticing in different years and would have never met. But we had an instructor come around that was looking for people to volunteer to speak to the inmates at the Pine Grove Penitentiary, the female inmates, about non-traditional work. I was like all for it because I got to miss school and not get in trouble. Rochelle was like, hey, I just got back from a personal growth course and I'm supposed to serve and give back. Universe put us together. Next thing you know, we were working on a project together.
Nice. So, okay. So you started off, that's how you met. Then you started off working as electricians. How did you make the jump into becoming real estate investors? What did that journey look like?
It's been kind of, you know, the universe put out the steps and we just kind of took them, right? So actually, right after our schooling, Alyssa helped me build a basement suite in my personal residence. And at that time, we realized we worked so well together, which is amazing because I don't work well with people. it's been a growth journey. But so essentially, then we found out about Rich Dad Real Estate Investing courses. And then Alyssa actually used her divorce money to pay for our courses, which is pretty incredible because we'd only known each other for about 7 months at that point in time. And then we basically took 8 of the courses in 10 months. And pretty impressive considering we literally were like all over Canada taking these courses.
And had no money.
Yeah. And we were like using our air miles and like, you know, it was quite the adventure. But again, how bad do you want it, right? We wanted it bad. And then we ended up taking the courses, taking our 3-day mentorship, getting our first flip, and then getting incorporated. And kind of the rest is history. It's just been like one thing after another. And we're very blessed with being aware that there are amazing opportunities and, you know, there's enough abundance out there for everybody. And yeah, I don't know. I feel very supported. And we're both really hard workers. And I always say like other people might, you know, be smarter than me, but no one's going to outwork me.
Oh. Yeah, and that goes so far, I tell you. Thank God hard work makes up for smarts. Otherwise, I
can't. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Saskatchewan was built on it.
So you guys, what do you focus on because you took the education, the training. I'm sure you learned a whole swack of different real estate investing strategies. What is your bread and butter strategy that you focus on mostly?
Well, the big overview is we position ourselves to be residential real estate problem solvers. Yeah. Then we narrowed that down into basically working with buy and holds and flips.
Of single family homes, right? So houses, basically. Okay. Yeah, so buy and hold and flip. So what does buy and hold look like for you? What do you guys do with the properties that you buy and then you hold?
For sure. Well, the interesting thing is, Alyssa likes to say we basically created our own economy because again, when you're flipping houses, you have to be subject to the way the market is, right? And so when we first started, it made sense.
Saskatchewan a little bit, I would think, would have something to do with it too. The weather.
Not really. I mean, a little bit. I mean, it's going to affect some of the outside stuff you do, but I mean, it's all relative, right? You just take on your projects and be strategic about that. But even just the economy, like right now in Saskatoon, it's a buyer's market. Yep. But when we started 5.5 years ago, it was a seller's market. So in a seller's market, it makes sense to flip. In a buyer's market, that's when you buy, right? And you hold. Yep. So for us, we kind of, you know, learned from that and again, implemented what we learned in our education. And so what is very interesting, and this is how we create our own economy, is we actually take and find distressed properties or distressed owners. We renovate the property to put it into a safe, sound, secure, cash flowing rental property. And then basically we flip it into our real estate portfolio where we pair with investors to hold them long term. So essentially it's kind of like that BRRR method, mm-hmm. but we use investors to do that to acquire control of as much inventory as we possibly can.
Very, very cool. So that you, it's almost like a flip, but you flip it to yourselves with an investor partner, then you hold on to it long term.
Exactly.
And you hold your cash out so you can go do that with another property or
exactly.
a property. So what
or, yeah. yeah, or right now we're using those profits to pay our overhead because we have a team of 32. Wow. And our overhead is high. Again, it's because we're throwing everything back into the business to basically build our empire.
Yeah. So your team, does that consist primarily of contractors, you know, people out there fixing up the properties? It's
about I'd say a 70-30 split. So 70% would be in the field working. And then the other 30 are data entry, admin, marketing, that kind of thing.
Got it. No, that makes a lot of sense. Wow. So what is your, if you don't mind sharing, what does your portfolio look like right now?
So when we first started in year one, we flipped one house and our goal has always been to double our portfolio every year, right? And we didn't know, you know, some of the stuff that was going to happen along the way, but we just closed out 2018 controlling over $32 million worth of real estate. And I think we just, again, we're February now wow. and we're just cresting $40 million already.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive. So it's been a fast journey for you guys, but I'm sure you've learned a couple of lessons along the way. So
understatement of the year. Yeah. Yeah.
So knowing what you know now, if you were talking to your earlier selves, or if you had to start all over again from scratch somewhere else, what would you do differently?
Okay. One of the first things would be adding, like putting together the team that's helping you would be a bookkeeper. Bring in somebody to do your... As a real estate investor, you're great being an entrepreneur. You're great at seeing what the properties are, what you can do with them. You're not the greatest at the paperwork. And so, you know, why bang your head against the wall? Just bring somebody in that's amazing at bookkeeping and you'll be able to go so much further. Don't try to wear too many hats. That was probably, if we could change something, it would be that.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Michelle, what about you? Do you have
another me, I think my biggest takeaway is making sure that you align yourself with people who have the same morals and principles and yeah. integrity that you do.
So you're talking about your team members, you're talking about
everybody. Like yeah. even if you're going to hire a contractor, make sure that they're on the same page as you, right? If you're going to work with an investor, I abide by that in my day-to-day life as well. Like if you are not like high vibe and forward thinking and, you know, living that positive way, you're not going to be part of my circle.
Yeah, no, very, very, very well said. So I know, ladies, you've started real estate club in the past and you're out speaking and mixing and mingling. You're out touring around the country, showing people what you're up to. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see other real estate investors making when they're getting started or just in general? I mean, because you must see a lot of them.
Absolutely.
So one of the big things that we're really trying to focus on right now is making people aware if they're truly wanting to be an active investor or more of a passive investor, right? Because there's a lot of people out there who are reading books and they're watching TV shows and they're like, I'm going to go flip a house. But then they're busy working their day-to-day jobs. They've got children at home. And then, you know, they either lack of education or lack of time turns around and bites them in the butt. And we got a lot of people like this who come with half-finished properties and they're like, I'm sorry, I bought off more than I can chew. I don't know what to do with it. And, you know, unfortunately, when they're already elbows deep in a renovation and they've paid too much for the property, there's nothing we can do,
yeah,
right?
Right. And they're going to lose money either way, right? I mean,
yeah. And then coming from me, honestly, I think the biggest mistake we see happen constantly is emotion versus numbers. Okay. They're going to get in.
So what do you mean by that, Alyssa?
They're going to look at something and they're going to jump on it based on emotion instead of really looking at the numbers and exit strategy.
They get excited about it, right? They yeah. see the house, they fall in love with it.
That's right.
They want to have that deal.
Yeah. And we've only had one of those this year.
There's a story here. So I don't get emotional about anything,
no.
like at all. I'm sorry your puppy died, but crying, right? So like it's that bad. Sorry.
That's why she has me. I care.
Good cop, bad cop, you know, I get it. Yeah.
And so this year we actually went to look, well, again, we look at houses every day. We don't look for properties anymore. People like literally hand to us by the dozen.
Right? Take it, please.
Yeah. We're getting rental portfolios showing up on our doorstep. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But one of these houses I went to look at with an agent, and it was crazy because this house was like another level special. Like the person who lived there, it was a foreclosure, but the person who lived there was like so extra. I can't even explain all the stuff that is done on this house. So anyway, I was in love with this house, and it was like a blowout price because the furnace is weird. There's no basement, it's crawl space. There's a furnace, an oil-based furnace. It's really weird. Anyway, I was like, I don't care what we pay for this house. We're getting it. And it was still a great deal. Even if we would have paid full list price, it would have still been a great deal. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, so Alyssa was like, are you getting emotional about a house? And I was like, I think I am. And honest to God, I would actually, if this house was closer to our office, I would actually move into it. It is that extra.
It's so super eclectic.
Yeah. Sure.
It's crazy.
Okay, ladies. Well, if you don't mind, kind of just so people get a better idea of what you do, can you kind of walk us through the process? Let's say somebody brings a property to you. If you don't mind, how do you go through that process of deciding if it's a good deal? What's kind of your sweet spot as far as price that you're willing to pay, pennies, you know, that sort of thing? So walking us through that process.
Okay, so very politically correct.
It depends.
Let's be politically incorrect then.
Yeah, right? So no, honestly, it is house by house because there's so many variables we can look at due to how we run our Epic economy. So, you know, location can change things. You know, the age of the house can change things. The size of the lot can change things. So there's all these variables we take into consideration.
Right.
And it's going to make it dependent on how much we will or won't pay for a property. So for example, we just went and looked at a foreclosure yesterday that's in Saskatoon's high-end neighborhoods. Typically neighborhoods we don't touch. It's not, we're not into the half a million or up houses for flipping. It's just not our thing. Mm. But we got this one, like this house comps out at 470-ish, 450.
Finished.
And we got it for 280. So I mean, like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, well, it's not something we typically do, but the numbers are just so good, you would be silly to walk away.
And this one was interesting too, because again, we don't look for properties that come to us, but we had an agent who, he's got a really close eye on the pulse, and we closed on three houses with him in the last month, right? Yeah. So he's a grinder and he wants his commission. So I'm like, you go do the work and you bring us the stuff and we'll go from there. So we went to look at it, and literally within an hour of him sending us the listing, there had already been five offers submitted. When we were walking out, there was another two people coming through, right? So we, again, not emotional. We're very logistic about how we go in and do the offers. So for us, our offers generally get accepted because we do all, like, no conditions, all cash, quick close, right? So usually we can close in as fast as 5 days because our lawyers are the bomb. And so again, this is where it's really important to have a really strong power team and to know what you're doing, right? And so we went in, and the list price on this house was 260, right? Again, we knew the comps, we knew what we'd have to put into it. So we actually offered 280, no conditions, all cash. And they weren't actually going to respond until Thursday. They said they're collecting all these offers and they'll get back to you on Thursday. We got a phone call, I think, 3 hours later?
Yeah, if that.
They accepted our offer. So, you know, and we were like, they accepted it?
Yeah, we were like, what? So we figured it would be low. And
we offered too much.
No, and we never say that. Like, we never offer too much because we know what our numbers are, right?
Yeah.
So for us, and again, there probably was people who offered more than us, but they probably had conditions. And they probably had longer timelines, and they probably had financing, right?
So the other point too, it goes back to the power team and how valuable they are. The realtor we work with has great rapport. He deals in foreclosures basically. So his rapport with these banks, he goes in and says, these guys are going to close, period, end of story.
Yeah. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. So that property, you're probably not, you're just going to flip it. You're probably not going to hold it as a rental.
No, that's a different portfolio.
So with your typical kind of a rental deal, mm-hmm. where you go in, you buy it, you fix it up, then you bring an investor on board, you flip it back to yourself, that kind of thing. How does that process work typically?
Yeah, so we would get a phone call on a property, whether it's private, whether it's listed with an agent, doesn't matter to us, right? Because the numbers are the numbers. It is what it is. So basically we'll go in, we'll look at the property. We'll run the numbers. We know what our houses rent for, right? If it's a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom, it rents for $1,200. Doesn't matter if it's a 500 square foot house or a 1,000 square foot house. Not how many beds and baths does it have? Okay. If it's got decent square footage and we can add a bedroom, like a legal bedroom, right? Yeah. So maybe we can put an egress window in the basement and get an extra bedroom. We've now just increased our profitability on that house by an extra $200 maybe a month for cash flow.
Yeah.
So we run those numbers, right? So again, we pay $2,000 for an egress window. That gets us an extra $200 a month. I mean, you know, it pays for itself in a very short time. And so again, now we've got a 4-bedroom house, so it's going to appraise higher when it's finished. So basically we'll go in, we'll do an analysis and see what the renovation would need to be in order for us to make it safe, sound, and secure. And so I know some people, when they get into this, they have checklists and they go in and do all this crazy stuff. And honestly, it's in our heads.
Yeah.
Like, we just, you know, we look at hundreds of properties and we know, like, we go in, oh, it needs a new bathroom, $5,000. Oh, okay. It needs a new kitchen, yeah. 10. Oh, it needs paint. Okay. 3. It needs new flooring. Okay. 5. You know, like, it's very.
And part of that is our team, right? Because we can hold to those numbers because it's in-house. We have our own plumbers. We have our own electricians. It changes the game.
And then we would find out the numbers, and then essentially we would go and make an offer on the property. And then again, if there's tenants in place, we need to make sure it's a longer possession because they need to get the tenants out, or we could take the tenants over sometimes. Every deal is different, but we figure out what the house is worth. And then essentially we would say it was a vacant property. So we would put an offer on it. Then we would go out and find the investor who's going to fund it for us. And then we would go in, get the keys, send in our crew if it needs to be renovated. If it doesn't need to be renovated, we just give the keys to our property management crew, which is again in-house, and then say, go rent this property. And then we would get it appraised after the renovation's completed. And then that's how we get our price of what we sell it to our hassle-free landlord owner for. And then essentially, once it's financed through our hassle-free landlord owner, we become their guaranteed tenant. And then that's how our original cash investor gets their money back. And then they'll get paid for their principal and the accrued interest of how long their funds were used for. And then we'll say, hey, that was fun. Do you want to do it again? And usually they'll say, for sure, that was super easy.
Hence the own economy, right?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So it sounds you come in as a tenant. So does that mean you find a subtenant, you kind of do a lease option type deal at the end there?
So we don't actually do a lease option. The properties we have are pure rental properties, but we are actually the rent-to-own tenant as a like for our hassle-free landlord owners.
I see.
But basically, this is how we acquire control of all of our rental properties without ever having to put any cash or credit into the deal.
So you're guaranteeing them a tenant, and then you're finding somebody else that you're subletting to, basically.
Exactly. Correct. And then that's how we take all the risk away from our clients, right? So if there's a vacancy, we still have to pay rent. If the furnace blows up, we just go in and fix it.
Very nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, we've run out of time here today, but if people want to find out more about you guys and what you're up to, what's the best thing they can do?
Probably check out our website, epicallianceinc.com, and you'll find all the information you need right there, or phone us. Either one of us. My number is 306-717-3351.
And I'm 306-717-7848. And I always have my phone on.
Fantastic. Very, very interesting. I think we'll probably have to have you come back on another podcast in the future so we can talk about some more stuff, because 17 minutes runs by pretty quick.
Definitely. Sure does. Thanks for your time. Stay epic. Bye.
Well, thanks very much for checking out the Property Profits podcast. And if you like what we're doing here, please head on over to iTunes, subscribe, rate us, and leave us a review. We very, very much appreciate it. And if you're looking to create a regular flow of inbound investor inquiries about your real estate deals, then I invite you to attend one of my upcoming live online demonstrations. And you can check that out at investorattractiondemo.com. Take care.